ഇറ്റ്സ് എ നോട്ട് സ്റ്റോറി പ്രൊഡക്ഷൻ.
And welcome to the Be Impactful podcast. The returning listeners, thank you for being there. And for the new listeners, thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, B. Shiva.
And I'm Vineet. So today, we are going to talk about resilience and also get this company into picture, which is driven by sustainability.
And that's a very interesting concept, Vineet. So you are talking about a company which is also looking at both building resilience within itself and caring about the environment?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And I think that's something quite interesting. And I think a lot of our listeners will be having a question about that. Can it be really done? Where you care about both the environment as well as be a resilient, sustainable company. So with that, let me invite our guest who is on that same mission to build a company that is both resilient and is actually sustainable in terms of economic, ecological, and environmental sustainability. So Sheila, welcome on board. Thank you for being a member of our podcast.
Thank you so much, Shiva. Thank you for having me here. Thank you, Vineet.
So, to our listeners, Sheila is a financial risk advisory person who's turned into a sustainable skin care products company. Look up myurvija.com. And she's the founder of that company. While she's also helping in her family's agri-based business, third or fourth generation that's going on, and it's fantastic. We actually met on day one of our back-to-school executive program in XLRI, where she survived actually 1 week of being sandwiched between two guys on a bench who continuously chatted or ate or both at the same time. So it was a fun thing. And that's where we met each other and developed a great bond. I know that for sure she's definitely passionate of the environment. Whenever she talks about it, it comes from the heart. A very special thing of hers is she's against using chemicals or products in her cosmetics, which either contribute to deforestation or harm the community environment. And that's what I think is Urvija. So, Sheila, first thing to you, Urvija, it's a very interesting name, myurvija.com. So, what is it? How was this company born? What is your motivation and driver?
Urvija is a Sanskrit word. And as you have given quite an appropriate introduction to what Urvija is about, being chemical-free and being environment-friendly, Urvija, it means actually born of earth. Urvi means earth and Urvija means anything which is born of earth.
Wow.
So I was listening to your introduction in terms of the resilience vis-a-vis the sustainability part of it. You know, the way I look at it, I think one cannot exist without the other. In today's world, it's almost like one word which is spelled in two different ways. There's no point becoming a sustainable, or you cannot aspire to become a sustainable enterprise if you're not resilient. And if you have to be resilient in today's world, then it has to be sustainable.
So
that's
true.
The take on the entire talk that we are going to have and the existence of Urvija. And can't really say that to what extent the dramatic entry of Urvija's was into this world, but I can tell you it was one random evening, both of us, my husband and I, we were having a coffee together. And I'd really request each of your audience, the people who are there on the podcast, to go to YouTube and watch this short film by David Attenborough. And it was a very interesting, funny clip on this creature. The English word of it is the sage of the jungle, and which is like orangutan. And what David Attenborough, what he was showing, that how orangutans, how close they are to us human species. And as to, they were being shown as individuals, as personalities, and something just struck a chord. And that was a moment of awakening, a moment of truth for both of us, where we understood that this is a world where each one of us have our own space to claim. And the more we were interested and inquisitive about who orangutans were or what they do and where they live, the enormous amount of bad news in terms of the destruction of the rainforest in the Southeast Asia that started flooding our the phones and the devices that we were looking at. So Urvija is... that's the crying call. And thankfully, and I'm really saying that when you're talking about the resilient, sustainable business, I am really proud to say that it's not the 74,000 crore market or a CAGR of 20-25% of a cosmetic business. That was the starting point of Urvija. Urvija's starting point was that if I could save just one orangutan from being orphaned, if I could just save one orangutan from being killed and being brutally murdered for their blood, one tree not being felled. So that's the start of the Urvija. And 2017, formally the company was formed. 2021, we are still struggling. But yes, of course, today's date, some more people know about Urvija. And the key and the core ambition is to let more people be at least aware or at least show some interest towards the environment that we are living in. Because I think that's the most burning question that each one of us, we are having in our mind, that given the magnitude of the crisis that we are in, how you and I, as simple, ordinary individual, can make a difference.
Wow.
And each action we take.
I 100% agree with your point of view. And since Urvija has been in business since last 4 years, we can understand that the challenges keep on coming in. You had specifically mentioned, you know, saving of that one orangutan and the fire which burned through the entire Southeast Asia rainforest. So how did this entire thing transform into what Urvija is right now?
Yes. As I was saying that for us, Urvija, I would say, whether you call it a mascot or whether you call it as a symbol of generating of an evolved consumer mind, right? That's what we stand for. So the orangutans are killed to clear off the forest to bring in the palm oil cultivation. It's a monoculture cultivation. So it's straight away, the direct impact that you have is a destruction of biodiversity. And not only orangutan, killing and almost getting into extinction of several other very important species, including elephants and Sumatran tiger and you name it. So what we did in Urvija is that we thought of products which would not have palm oil in it. And I'm not sure if the audience would know that almost about 70% of the cosmetic product that we use, if not more, has palm oil in it in several forms. So palm oil has two uses. One is the edible oil. All the oil that you consume as part of your food, as part of our food, majority of it is mixed with palm oil. And second is the heavy use in terms of the industry, in the cosmetic and the beauty industry. So we really wanted to uphold this crying call that beauty needn't be at the cost of blood of anybody. So that's where Urvija was born, as the first no palm oil skincare and a hair care product in India. That took us to massive amount of research, because in today's date, finding a product without palm oil or a palm oil derivative in it is a very, very tough task. And I'm happy to say we didn't only stop at that. We really wanted to bring in the credibility and our sincerity towards this cause to the table by getting ourselves certified also by the Orangutan Alliance in Australia. So that's what Urvija is.
I think it's a fantastic story. And I think for all our listeners, this is a clear reason as to why you should be saying no to palm oil and palm oil products. Care for the environment. And well, orangutans are our cousins. It's been scientifically proven. And well,
yes,
we're just taking away our cousins' home. It's a fantastic driver and a motivation. I love that story. And for all our people, listeners out there, please care for this and say no to palm oil. Now, coming back to the earlier part as to where we are saying, your company is definitely is very clearly focused on the planet side of it, environmental, the ecological part of it.
Right.
Now, what exactly, how is your company's strategy? What does it focus on for sustainability, the ecological development, and economics is important, and the environmental? How do you focus on all three?
Absolutely.
And how do you plan over that?
Absolutely. See, if I can just digress a little, probably not digressing that way also, but linked to what we just discussed in the previous conversation that we had.
Yeah.
So when in 2018 or 17, the company was formed, 2018, our first product, the prototype and everything, we were ready with it without palm oil in it. In India, how many people even knew that palm oil is at all an issue? Okay.
Very few.
Cut to 2021, in as we speak today, in last 4 weeks of time in mainstream media, I'm sure it must not have missed your pair of eyes also, where there are very direct news on the palm oil. And we all know that what kind of edible oil shortage and the import of, as a India, we need to be independent as far as oil crop. And of course, now there are very direct reference to our own country, where there is going to be massive, mammoth amount of palm oil cultivation for us to be independent. So where does the sustainability angle with respect to what Urvija is doing comes into the picture? So the way we look at it is that, of course, given the amount of shortage of edible oil, or maybe becoming independent on this front, a certain amount of palm oil cultivation, probably it is necessary, right? At the same time, it is also important that at what cost that necessity is being brought into fruition. In India, where palm oil, it is not something which is endemic to India. It is a foreign crop, any which ways for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
In India, as edible oil, you have sunflower, you have groundnut, you have mustard, you have sesame, right? So when we are talking about giving subsidies for palm oil cultivation, at least as consumers, we can ask this question that why can't there be subsidies for groundnut and mustard oil and sunflowers of the world?
Yeah.
Because yes, productivity could be less, or there could be other challenges in terms of cultivating it. But these are something which is in line with the biodiversity features or the profile as India, where it stands. So as a sustainable consumer, what Urvija is aspiring to do at 2021, that of course, I mean, it's best to say no to palm oil.
Yeah.
But it is even better to question the palm oil that I am consuming, the cream that I'm purchasing, or that maybe the soap that I'm using, the palm oil that is being used here, to what extent, what is the price? What is the actual, not the picture of Mahatma Gandhi, but what's the cost actually you're bearing for it? Now, it's in the context that it's mostly the South India and Northeast India where the palm oil cultivations are going to be encouraged, because these are mostly rain-fed topography and where the palm oil cultivation can thrive.
Okay.
Having said that, what I want to specially note here, that in Northeast alone, there are 51 different kinds of forests.
Okay.
So today, if I want to incentivize Northeast for a palm oil cultivation, mind you, you are at a threshold of a risk to forego that 51 kind of a forest. And in very recently, there was another research that was done in some parts of the Northeast where palm oil cultivation, which has started already, from the start to the beginning, they have already lost some 200 species of insect and 50 species of bird.
Okay.
Right? So if you're talking about sustainability, it is important that I ask certain right questions. I'm taking to the, I take a conscious call. So that's where Urvija stand. We come in with our product, that every time, every thousand times that when I'm going to say that it doesn't have palm oil, it's with the hope that it's not only about palm oil in the Urvija, but at least will that pique the interest of a consumer to pick up product and see what ingredients are there. Are those ingredients sustainable? Are those ingredients really beneficial, like you have mentioned, in terms of environment, in terms of society, in terms of the ecology, most importantly? And where do you stand?
Yeah.
So Srila, I have two questions. I mean, we understood the palm tree cultivation is not native to any of the rainforests, and it destroys the biodiversity. That is something which is very categorically, you know, stated. So there are two questions now. First thing, what is the alternative in terms of the ingredients which are being used by the product which Urvija is producing? And secondly, when we are talking about sustainability, we also look at the communities. I mean, involving the local community out here so that they also become self-employed and self-sustainable. So how are these two aspects being looked at as a holistic picture from Urvija?
Vineet, I just love this question. I was waiting when I'm going to be asked this question. Well, I wonder if I could say that, oh, wow, we are not using palm oil and we have a magic ingredient in our pocket. But no, since it's the sustainable journey that three of us are on today, I would say that what we did is just we opened our eyes and we looked around. The research that we talked about, that was precisely to get back into our backyard and to see that what we could get. And we got Mahua, we got Kusum, we got Neem oil, we got Karanj oil, all. And since I'm from Bengal, I'm from Calcutta. So these are mostly available in the South Bengal deciduous forest.
Okay.
And the seeds are what we technically define them as the non-timber forest products. So these are not something which are cultivated. These are actually lying, getting wasted on the forest floor. And the way we engage with the community, and that's another very, what should I say, a very, very emotional aspect of it. The tribal communities in Purulia, tribal communities in Bankura district in Bengal, if you can look up the map, you will see that they are the ones who would collect these seeds. And those seeds would go through several stages for it to be converted into oil. And what we have done, at our stage one, what we did is that we procured the oil from these pure seeds, one. And the second, this year particularly, what we have done is that we have tried to do a bit of a backward integration in terms of the more community engagement that we did, completed one processing of the oil, which goes as our raw material at the site itself. So we could engage some more people joining into the activity. And of course, there is an economic transaction. There is an economic exchange which is happening. And so that we are using the biodiversity aligned raw material.
Okay.
We are also a part of this West Bengal and the National Biodiversity Board. So you basically, you have to get into an agreement with the Biodiversity Board where you mm-hmm. commit to a certain percentage of a revenue to go okay. to the local community. So one, not only with respect to the direct purchase and the procurement that we are getting from these tribal and the local communities in terms of the raw material, we are also, once the financials are done, so even if you are kind of spending or earning, 100 rupees, there is a certain percentage that you've committed towards the well-being and the upliftment of the local community there. This is what the aspect of as a substitute. And I'm so happy to see that the substitute in terms of the Mahua oil and the Kusum oil that we are talking about, that you get to know that how real and how pure they are. And secondly, they are better alternatives. So any
and
person,
these are local alternatives. I think these are again local.
Absolutely. Something which was getting wasted otherwise. So in a way, you could maybe bring in a very indirect reference to a circular economy also. So something which was getting wasted, I'm using that as my input material. And in the end, I'm delivering something better. Because main bahut kuch bol diya, and I'm saying a lot of things about the product, but then Shiva, he uses the soap on his face and he gets a lot of pimples or he gets a lot of breakouts. That's really going to be the case, right? So it had to be very superior in terms of the product quality. And we are an Ayurveda, Ayush certified and a GMP plant. So the quality assurance with respect to the local ingredients that we procured was massive. So I'm really thankful that I belong to this part of the world and Urvija is thriving.
I think this is a story that is going to be inspiring for a whole lot of founders over there with your story. And that's a nice segue into my next and actually the last question today is your own growth story. You've gone through a whole journey by yourself. And for our listeners who are business leaders, professionals, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, if you had to give three quick tips to all of them, what are they?
Whether it's a tip or whether it's the takeaway from my own journey, it's the audience who are going to decide that.
Yeah.
Having said that, I think the discussion in terms of the resilience and the sustainability that you talked about, mm-hmm. it is actually resting on these three pillars of the social society, the environment and the economic sustainability. So in order to be there, in order to at least establish the voice or at least make our voices here, all these commitments will have to be pretty much in perspective. All these commitments will have to be in place. So in the journey, of course, you both of you are entrepreneurs yourself. The share of disappointments have been more frequent than the share of success. But the way I look at it, if it is sustainable, if it is resilient, most important thing is that we cannot stop our journey. And every time we are at a threshold of giving up, it's important that we ask for help. So that's going to be my first, whether it's from your stakeholders, your vendors, your staff, your team, your family, let us not hesitate to ask for help. That's one very, very important takeaway and a learning that I have had, particularly in the last 2 years. The second linked with the first one is that in the course of disappointments, count your blessings in terms of the minuscule of victories also that I have earned. And what has become really crucial for me is to celebrate each of the victory, no matter how small. I mean, the first, so we are also exporting to US now. We are on Amazon.com platform also. So the first unit of soap that we sold on Amazon.com, we celebrated that. And that's an opportunity where I got, because we are employing a lot of local rural youth and rural women who are without any skill, without any training per se. So we kind of dedicated that sales that had happened to them. So they feel that they are the ones who have earned the victory. And that's going to go a long way, right? Right. So that really, that's a camaraderie that we can establish. And the third is that we all aspire to become great or big. For me, the word in perspective is the crucial. It's the critical. And even if I'm not maybe driving a Mercedes or maybe a ship, what's important is that what's the angle of the ship on which that I'm, you know, riding. So the impact and the influence, even if it's 1%, 2%, that's what we should be focusing at, because that is what is going to really make your organization, make your enterprise live beyond you. We are going to be here on this earth for a finite years only. If it has to cross the finite number of years, we have to focus. We have to keep looking for that criticality. We have to look for that impact and influence rather than the huge part of it. I think that would be my takeaway.
These are, I think, great takeaways.
Awesome. So,
thank you.
So, Shreela, what you mentioned about the mahua and the kusum flowers and the seeds, which is the non-timber product, I still remember it was year 2017 when I went for my paragliding to this place called Kamshet. Mm. And it was just before the end of rainy season. What happened was we had made seed balls. And while flying, we were actually throwing it on the mountain so that when it rains, these seeds germinate in the local ecosystem and
excellent.
The entire nature can be preserved. All right.
Excellent.
And frankly speaking, this is where it is so interesting that the passion for the environment, as well as getting resilience and sustainability into picture, all this was inspired by that one single David Attenborough film,
yes.
which actually led to you creating My Urvija, getting the backward integrations of community into place. There is a transaction which is involved, which is making them self-sustainable. Apart from that, it is also holistically helping the entire biodiversity and the ecosystem. I mean, yes. this is lovely piece to be looked at. And when, you know, final summarizing of the point that whenever you are facing challenge, ask for help, because we have our egos in place and we do not keep it aside yes. and not ask for help. Count yes. on the blessings, build the camaraderie and celebration. That is something which we are like, it will be done over a course of time. But even the small pieces makes a big difference. And finally, it is about creating an impact forever. So it was lovely having this conversation with you out here on our podcast.
Absolutely, Shreela.
Thank you so much, Vineet and Shiva. I'm so grateful to both of you for giving us the opportunity to talk on this platform. Thank you so much.
And to all our listeners, thank you for being there. Check out Shreela. Look up myurvija.com. That's myurvija.com. We'll be sharing it on our show notes. Also, myurvija on Instagram. Check it out. Buy from them. Give them the business also and learn from them. Inspire from them. We are definitely inspired over there. Our episode and all our past episodes, as you all know, are on the top platforms in Apple, Spotify and everywhere else. So with that, thank you, Shreela. Thank you, listeners. And continue to be impactful.
And as the bumblebee says, see with your heart, listen with your mind, spread your wings far and wide. Thank you very much.